Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can this kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, and by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Or again, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just first of all thanking you that we could come and praise and worship you and have such a great time of doing that, Lord, and lift up your name. And we thank you for your living word again, Lord, today that just speaks to us, and just anoint James as he shares the word with us, Lord, today. Open our hearts and minds that we can truly take this word in, Lord. What great words these are that have been read today, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Gosh, Mark, I enjoyed that worship time so much. I could be addicted, that song, Hallelujah, and dancing and all that. I've been wanting to dance for a long time, and I think if we keep doing that, I can. All right, these are very serious words that we've read, that Rick has read to us today from Jesus' teaching. And the ones that really started my mind off in what I need to speak about, which is mastering the details of life, taming your tongue. Can I see the hand of anybody who doesn't have a problem with this? I think all of us would say, I've been hung by my tongue more than once. You know, I've said things I didn't mean. I wish I could take them back, but look at the seriousness of this. Jesus says, and it's a horrible thought, that you could doom yourself to eternity by blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That is a possible thing that a man can do, a woman can do, could speak blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that sin would not be forgiven. No, not in this world. And what? Or the one to come. What a serious, horrible thought. That through a man's speech, he could doom himself to an eternity in hell. And the other thought is equally serious to me. Jesus said that every word, every idle word, the King James says, that a man speaks, that he will be judged for that word on the day of judgment. And by your own words, you will be justified on that day, or else you'll be condemned. Now, has anybody failed to see the seriousness of what comes out of your mouth? These two statements, to me, indicate that one of the great details of life is being able to master what we speak. and how we speak it. And there's so much to be said about this, and this is an introduction, and I'm not finished with the emotions, mastering your emotions, because my emotions got all unmastered this last week. How about anybody here? You know, as soon as you get some truth, some new truth, God always tests you about what you learned. Did you know that? You cannot learn anything from God, but the test will come. And so if you say, well, you know, I thought I was really, God spoke to me about some things about my emotions, and then you had an emotional collapse or something happened, then you shouldn't worry about that very much. God is just allowing you to test his truth, and you just missed out for a short time. What do you do when you miss out, Brother Larry, on something? You just repent it and get started again. But when you fail to get started again, when you just decide to wallow in what you've fallen in, you'll never be helped. So you just got to keep applying the truth of God that you hear until it becomes automatic and even easy to do as you let the Spirit of God really move through you. But this teaching, and this is not my major point about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but how many of you got worried just a little bit as soon as you heard it? You liars. Most everybody has thought, I hope I hadn't done that. Man, I don't want to do that. But here's the thing. What has actually happened is these people were seeing Jesus under the power and the anointing of the Spirit take a blind man and make him see. Take a deaf man and make him hear. And then say, that's of the devil. You see, it's being totally convinced that what you're seeing is obviously God, and you're choosing to reject that obvious demonstration of God and thus rejecting God. The only sin that will ever be not forgiven in heaven is rejection of who? Of God himself. And here's a man, but you can reject God when you're 20 years old and never change. You can reject God when you're 60 years old. You can reject God anytime you want to. And some people reject him based on their ignorance and they're forgiven. But when a person says, I don't want to have anything to do with this, I don't want to have anything to do with God, they have basically sinned this sin. And so none of you have sinned this sin. You wouldn't be here today if you had. You'd be somewhere totally unconcerned anymore about God, and God would likely never speak to you again because he knows those people who have totally shut him out. So not to be concerned about this, but what I wanted to point out, how serious it is what we say, and that some people will have probably doomed themselves because they told God they didn't want to have anything to do with him over and over again and rejected him ultimately until it was too late for them to do anything else about it. Now, I don't think any of us will ever choose to really attack how we speak until we really believe in our hearts the damage that we do with our tongues, the problems that we can create with them. You'll never really work on this because this takes a lot of work. How many of you know it takes a lot of work to tame your tongue, to control what you say? I mean, you have to just really... You're going to ultimately find out in this passage that you cannot do it yourself. Now, here are some things that I think also that appeal to me about really saying, I want to guard my tongue. I want to watch it. I want to understand how I can tame this under the help of God. Is the verse 30 that Rick read also. After Jesus' discussion of how these people were saying words that were dooming themselves if they really believed that, if they spoke against God and rejected him ultimately, he says, he that is not with me is against me. So here's something I want you to consider. What if the words that you speak are against Jesus? Even though you're not meaning that, but Jesus says, if you're not with me, what's the only alternative? You're against me. So what about your words? If your words are really against the plan of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, if you're not for him in your words, then what are your words? It's against him. See, that's why a lot of Christian people that are really on their way to heaven are speaking words that are against the purpose and the plan of God. for their own life and for the lives of other people. So that the power of every word that we're speaking is this, that we should want all the words that we speak out of our life to be life-giving words. Even if there are times of reproof that we enter into with someone and correction, because we got to correct our kids, we got to correct those around us that we're responsible for, and so we have to have those times, but is our correction, is our reproof, is our directions we give to our kids and to others, is it framed out of wanting them to grow, wanting them to love God more, wanting them to be useful? See, he says every idle word means a word that's worthless. It's no good at all. A lot of times parents speak worthless words to their kids that are no good at all. All they're going to do is hurt them. You got to correct them, but you have to correct them in love. And love them as you're correcting them, and also speak words of love and words that will help. And so Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. What I'm saying is there's no neutrality in whether these words are Godward or these words are from hell, that Satan has wanted to use them. Now, are you seeing where we're going with this? So that we want all of our words. And I know this is a great challenge, but even if we can only get 80% of our words that are really filled with God's power, God's love, and words are so powerful that the Scripture says, and it's there in your outline, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And this next part of that is an eye-opener. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. What that means is this, that at all times in our life right now, the emotions that we're going through, the difficulties that we're going through, the successes that we're having, the good feelings that have been generated by whatever we've said or done is the fruit that we're eating from our tongues. That the tongues have this tremendous power to give life and help, and it has the power to give death. People have literally died as a result of words that were spoken to them. A great Bible teacher, a woman Bible teacher, Carolyn, do you remember Kay Arthur? Her husband had emotional problems, difficulties, and she had decided to leave him. I think this was before she was a Christian. But he called her up, and he said, "Honey, please come home. I need you to come home. I love you. I can't live without you." She said, "I've heard that so much. I'm sick of it. I want, just go do what you need to do. Take your own life." And that's exactly what he did. Took his own life. It took the power and the mercy of God to deliver her from the guilt of what she had said, and God was able to do it. But life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it's an amazing thing that you can diminish a person's talent. You could take away their ambition with the words that you speak, or else you could give them energy. You could give them the ability to believe God and trust God if you use the words of God. Do you see what I'm saying? You can change others by not what you think about them, but what you say to them, that they get to feel in what you're thinking about them. They come to understand what and interpret your words so that it breathes life into them and help and gives them hope and those kind of things. And so the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless, they pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings health. Now, in our relationships, when we use our words incorrectly and we do not fill them with the love of God and the words of God and the truth of God, you build toxic relationships. You build a relationship that's there's poison in. Have you ever been in relationship with someone and you got sick when you're around them that much? Or someone you work with can literally make you sick when they come in the room with the words they're accustomed to saying to you. Because their words, the Bible says, and I'm not speaking of physical poison, but I'm speaking of spiritual, soulish poison that really works just like a poison works. If you take a poison, it's going to work on you and work on you until it's out of your system. And if you could survive the power of it and the potency of that poison that's taken away your life, and you can get through it, you can live through having taken poison. But some that have that poison that leads them ultimately to death, whether it's death this year or maybe death a year later because that poison so weakened their bodies. But here's what the Bible says about these words and where this poison actually comes from. In Psalms 143, the Bible says, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent's adder. Poison is under their lips. Selah. Which means pause and think about that. Just think about it. And then James says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And once again, James mentions that this words that we speak can be poison. Words can heal you. They can empower you. They can motivate you. They can encourage, and they can strengthen you. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, your words brings life into me, causes me to be able to see your words. So you could base your words on the words of God, and look what life-giving power. That's why with words are some of the most important thing we convey. As we preach, we convey the opportunity for men and women to have faith, for men and women to be saved. The Bible says that it's through the foolishness of preaching that what happens? That men could be saved. Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. So when our words are being shaped by the Word of God, we are faith imparters to others. And the Apostle Paul said, and you impart the Spirit through speaking. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul said in the Galatian church, he said, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it through works of the flesh or through the hearing of faith? What he was saying is when he came there, they all had a spiritual experience because he spoke words of faith that they believed and trusted in and acted on, and they received the Spirit of God in their lives to empower them to overcome the difficulties that they have in their lives. Three things I want to say in this metaphor in the book of James, because I want us to learn to use our words successfully to build, to do away with the toxic relationship or poisonous relationships that we have built with someone because we have said things that wounded their heart, that went into their heart like poison, and then they said things that wounded us and went into our hearts like it was a poison, and it just stays in there. We've got to get it out. You get it out through forgiveness. You get it out through saying, I forgive you. I'm sorry what I did. And God, please forgive me and let whoever I need forgive me. And get that poison out of your emotional system and out of your heart. But then you can use your words aright. Listen to the power that could come out of this. James makes three different references in the book of James to what the tongue is like. He said, number one, he said it's like the rudder on a ship. He said, think about how these big ships move through the water with heavy cargo, and they're pressing through the water, and he said, but their direction is decided by the little rudder that's moving back and forth and directing that huge ship through the water. Think about your life. As you move through the journey of your life, you've got power, you've got accumulated a cargo, maybe baggage or maybe good stuff. But behind your life, the thing that's moving you, directing you, is what is coming out of your mouth. Can you see that? That you are speaking your life and directing your life. That's why when I say, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice. We're directing our emotions. We're directing the rest of that day. We're directing the things that are going to happen. Because, I mean, misery is out there if you run your ship that way. But if you move it to another direction and catch the sails of God and do whatever God's doing in your life through what you say, and then as you follow up on what you say, you move your body and your life into the future just the way a rudder is guiding a ship. And then he said, it's like a bridle. We bridle horses with all their power to keep them on the direction we want them to go. And a little bridle moves that big, powerful horse. And the third metaphor he uses in that chapter is this. He says that the words we speak, They're like a fire, a little fire, like a match that was struck and then put to dry grass. And the dry grass immediately caught fire, and then it caught a bush, and the bush caught fire, and then it caught a tree, and the tree caught fire, and the trees caught fire, and destroyed thousands of acres of property and left nothing there. I've told you about a couple I went to see, and I went to their house, and every piece of furniture was smashed with a heavy object like an axe or something. Every picture was hit. Holes were in the wall. As I walked through that house with that young couple, a beautiful house in Jonesboro in a nice neighborhood, I saw destruction like I couldn't hardly believe it. A force of evil was in that home, and I literally felt it there as I walked through thinking, what had happened there in that home with that husband? Or I'm saying, thinking it's a husband, could have been a wife who did all that. But the destruction was so much, I visualized the man totally losing his cool and smashing everything that meant anything good to his wife. And it reminded me of what he said these words are like. They destroy everything. And he says this, that is set, that fire is set on the fires. Could you finish this? Set on the fires of hell. He says hell set fires like that, but they need the tongue. The devil needs your tongue to make it happen. So these are the importance of saying, I want to really learn how to use my tongue right so I can bring healing and help to those that I love. So the real problem, obviously, is in the heart. Jesus said in our passage, he said it's the problem and difficulty is in your heart. How can an evil or a bad tree bring forth good fruit? It can't, see? He says you got to work on the root of things, the tree. And he says this tree is your heart. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that your mouth speaks. Now, I want to explain this. It is not out of the heart that you have isolated things that you say occasionally or once a month or once a year. It is those things that come out of the overflow of your heart, where the Bible says, out of the abundance, the imagery that is used there is like a spring that's bubbling up. If you have a spring of water that's ever bubbling up, you can go there anytime, and it's always flowing out of that spring. The water is flowing out, and the thoughts and the deeds and the life that we're producing is flowing out of the spring of our heart, whether it's evil or whether it's good. And he says, make the tree good, and then the fruit will be good, or else, he said, makes it evil. And let the fruit be evil. If you got to decide what you're going to do with your heart. You're going to decide if you're going to learn to let God do something in your heart or not. I guarantee you, he will not do anything in your heart that you do not let him. Did you know that God wants to save everybody? But who gets saved? The Bible says those who believe where? In their hearts. Those are the people who say, I want what God wants for me. I'm willing to reject what God is rejecting in my life. I want what he wants in my heart. I want my heart lined up with him. If you let your anger overrule you and you keep those things in your heart, then you're only going to produce bad fruit and evil fruit in your life that you'll eat yourself and you'll distribute it to those around you. And so we have to change our hearts, and we want to look in this next section of the message. How do you let God change your heart? What do you need to do to allow your heart to be pure and good so that that which comes out of it is naturally good? So you don't have to work it up. It just flows out of you. You see, that's why the scripture says it's what flows out of a person's life that's good. That's why Jesus said if you want to see a false prophet or a good prophet, you have to look at what? What has flowed out of their life? What is flowing from their life? And so what flows out of our hearts, our words flow out of it. Those things that our heart is filled with. So what is the